Welcome to Deep Talk, the podcast for advanced English learners who are looking to explore something a little bit deeper. Hello and welcome to episode 26 of Deep Talk. My name's Rhiannon, mindset coach for advanced English learners and your host today. Today we've got a great episode for you. I'm talking to Shannon all about her habit of keeping a journal. Before we dive into that though, let me tell you a bit about Shannon herself. Shannon has worked in the world of English language teaching for ages and it's taken her all around the world. A few years ago, she decided to set up her own business, TEFL Horizons, where, among other things, she helps teachers build successful businesses within the English language teaching industry. We met when she got in touch with me to run two workshops within her training program earlier this year, one on how to run an Instagram account and the other on how to start a podcast. I love the opportunity to meet her members and play a teeny tiny role in their business journeys. In our conversation today, Shannon shares her own experience of keeping a journal, explaining the ways in which it helps her manage the ups and downs of life, as well as practical tips for those of us who are less disciplined. We recorded this back at the start of February of this year, and since then, I am very proud to tell you that I have written over 40 pages of my journal, which is the most I have ever written and the most consistent I have ever been. So if for nothing else, I am grateful to Shannon for sparking my enthusiasm there. As always, if you want to get in touch about this or any other episode, please do. My contact details are in the episode description. And if you want the space to talk about these topics in more detail with like-minded individuals from around the world, Deep Talkers is the place for you. We are a community of listeners. We have a Facebook group and also meet once a month for a face-to-face call. They're a lovely bunch of people and you would be most welcome to join. All right, that's enough from me. On with the show. Hello, Shannon. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So we are talking about journaling today, and I believe that you are an avid journaler. Is that correct?
I am. Yes. I've been journaling for a while now.
Amazing. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your experience journaling. Like, how long is a while? How do you do it? What do you do? What does journaling look like for you?
Sure. So I have been journaling really off and on for as long as I can remember. I've found like scribbled journal entries in little notebooks from probably when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, I didn't have any kind of disciplined regular practice then. And I actually wouldn't even say that I have that now. But then I think I started more consistently keeping a journal for pretty much my whole adult life. So I started really, it was sort of the summer right after I graduated high school as I was about to go to college. So when I was 18, I would say I started sort of more consistently, like reflectively journaling. So it's been pretty much my whole life. I don't know exactly how and why I started it. My mom is also a journaler for as long as I can remember. She's sort of done just like little daily entries, kind of like recording things that happen in her life. I don't remember ever having a direct conversation with her about it, but maybe it's just something that I always saw modeled. So it seemed like a very natural thing to have some sort of writing practice myself. And I've always loved writing. So it's been an enjoyable thing for me.
I was going to say, I am so impressed to hear that, because that to me, I mean, I would also find evidence at maybe 6 and 7 and 12 and 13 and 15 and 16. Yep. And at every point in my life, I think I have tried to journal. It has lasted for like 2, 3, maybe 4 days on a good day. And I just give up. So that kind of discipline, I mean, really of anything. I don't think I've done anything my whole life apart from like eat breakfast. Like, I cannot imagine something that I would still do now that I did 10 years ago, whatever. So that is incredibly impressive discipline. Does it feel like work?
No, and I should clarify that it's not a daily practice, and I don't think it ever has. I have years, maybe like you do, or maybe you have weeks. I have like some years where it was more daily, at least more regular, but I don't think it's ever been like every morning I sit down and I journal. That would be amazing discipline. I would be impressed with that as well. But it's been a little bit more just kind of as needed off and on, but still pretty consistent. I mean, I have entries from at least every month of every year, I would say.
Wow.
For most of my life. My adult life, yeah.
Yeah, when you said maybe years, maybe weeks you have. No, I don't think I even have a week of consistent entry. We have 3 or 4 days max. Okay. You mentioned getting up every morning and writing, obviously, as a that's not what you do, but what right. is it that you do? What is your kind of routine? How does it work when you're journaling?
Sure. So I have tried. I know there's this practice of morning pages that I've seen recommended. Mm-hmm. There's a really popular book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron that is about basically it's for creative people who want to have sort of a creative process. So she's, for example, a big advocate for doing morning pages. And I think her advice is to do like 3 handwritten pages every morning. And it's supposed to be very much just a stream of consciousness, whatever comes out, don't judge the style or the content or anything. And she thinks that's kind of helpful, I guess, to kind of get your creative juices flowing and just kind of do a brain dump, right, mm-hmm. before you go into your day so you're not carrying whatever's in there. I have tried to do that a few times, and I have found it really beneficial and enjoyable, but I've not been able to be consistent with that for mm-hmm. more than usually a month or so. What I do now is write just kind of when the mood strikes on an as-needed basis, but because I enjoy it, because it doesn't feel like this pressured, I have to do it obligation. I like it and it feels really therapeutic and kind of like this, I don't know, conversation with myself almost. Like I'm having a coffee date with myself or something. Mm. So yeah, I would say maybe now it's sometimes 10 times a month, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on what's going on in my life. I prefer to type. That's a really controversial thing. Okay. I know some people really like handwriting. For me, I can type faster than I can write, so it helps me feel like I'm keeping up with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I have sort of an organization system on my computer. I have it organized by year and by month in different folders. And when it's a new month, I'll just open a new Word doc, start typing, date my entries, and write as long as I feel like I need to.
Amazing. And would that tend to be at a particular time of day?
Honestly, no. Sometimes it's in the morning when I first wake up because I feel like I need to get something out before I can move on with my day. Sometimes it'll be in the evening. I'm kind of winding down and realize I have something, you know, from the day or from the week that I need to reflect on and then type a page or two about it. But it's whenever the mood strikes, really. And of course, when I have time.
Yeah. It's interesting you say like when you need to get something out or where you need to kind of process something. Is that, do you think, that kind of driving feeling that comes before journaling, that sort of a pressure building or like a need?
Yes. And it's not, sometimes it feels like a pressure if it's something that's emotional or that's stressful that happened. I'm like, ooh, I need to get this out because it feels like stuck in my head and it's distracting me and it's making it difficult to move on with my day or whatever. Other times it feels more of kind of this just reflective mood, almost like that feeling you get when you really want to listen to a certain song or maybe, you're in a certain mood, like something that almost indulgent.
That's the word that was in my mind, yeah.
That I want to do. And then it just feels nice to be able to sit down and kind of let my thoughts go where they want to, but in a more concrete way.
Mm-hmm. And what for you tends to be the result of journaling? I mean, you're saying kind of brain dump, getting stuff out of your head. Is the stuff out of your head when you're done?
Yes and no. It feels more organized. So
okay.
I would say there are a few benefits I've noticed. One is that kind of therapeutic benefit that if my thoughts feel like a big pile in my head, you know, everything's messy. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like I've gone in and cleaned my room in some sort of way. Like I went in and just kind of put everything somewhere. And even if it doesn't feel like it's in the perfect place yet, it feels like I've at least tidied it a bit. So if it's something that's, you know, bothering me in my life or if it's a stressful situation, even if it's something big that I can't change, right? Like something's mm-hmm. happening in my family or with a loved one or whatever, it's helpful to just kind of go in and be able to process everything and it doesn't feel so jumbled afterwards. Maybe it's still there, but it feels like I've been able to kind of work through it and at least identify some of what's bothering me or something that might help me feel better or something maybe that I could do if there's any action I could take in the situation to help with it. So that's one thing is just, this kind of like therapeutic thought organization. Mm-hmm. Something else that's been helpful is now that I have so many journal entries from the past, every now and then I'll go back and read some of them. And first of all, it's interesting to see that some of the things that were bothering me years ago that seemed so immediate and like such a big deal at the time, sometimes there are things I don't even remember until I go back and read the entry. Or sometimes there are things that I certainly remember because it was a huge impactful event in my life, but I realize that those strong emotions aren't there anymore. I remember what it feels like, you know, what it felt like at that time, but it's not something that's, you know, affecting my life now or that I'm upset about now. So it's such an interesting way to get perspective that, like, you know, wow, even that thing that felt like the end of the world at the time, I'm through it now. I'm over it. My life is in a different place. And so it's like when those things are happening now, I have those memories of what, you know, I know somewhere inside that I'm 2 years from now going to be looking back at what's happening today, knowing that it won't be as big of a deal. So it sort of helps me deal with those bigger feelings or events.
That's amazing. I was going to ask earlier if you ever read back. What's the, obviously you've just mentioned a little bit of it, but what is the experience when you're reading back on your words? I mean, I feel like for me it would be cringe. You know, like when you like listen to your voice recorded and you're like, oh, is that what I sounded like? Is that what I wrote? Is that really, did I feel that? Oh, how like weirdly emotional.
Honestly, it's not as much as I would think. I totally feel that way about listening to my own voice back and lots of other things, watching myself on camera. But with this, it's a bit different because I know that it's completely private. I know that it's just from me to me. And honestly, I've been surprised. So I like writing. And that is another benefit of journaling, I should say, for me, is that I really enjoy that process of kind of playing with language. And because I know that no one else is going to read it, I think I'm freer in the way that I write. And so sometimes there's not much style to it. I'm not trying to be descriptive or poetic. I just have to get some stuff out, or I just need to list like in bullet points, okay, here's why I'm upset, or here's what I need to do, or whatever. And that's helpful. But there are other entries, even when I'm going through something, almost more so when I'm going through something really emotional, whether it's good or bad or whatever, where looking back, I'm surprised at the quality of the writing.
Cool.
Because I think that's part of the therapeutic process for me, is needing to find the perfect word to describe something, or needing to use a metaphor that kind of pulls out my feelings in the best way that I can. So looking back, I'll almost think like, wow, I thought at the time that my head was just this mess and I was just kind of like blurting things out. And looking back, I'm surprised at how kind of organized it is and descriptive it is. And that's been really interesting as well, that I'm actually getting something out of it almost in an artistic way when I thought that it was purely just an exercise in organizing my thoughts.
That is really interesting. I'm curious just about you generally. Do you have another outlet for your writing?
I have written poetry off and on for a long time, and I have let fall by the wayside more, but I wanted to be a writer when I was a child. I still do now. I sort of always promised myself that I would establish my day job and, you know, really get to a place in my career where I could support myself going back and doing something like getting an MFA in poetry, because something tells me that's not going to pay the bills in the long run.
Being a poet. Have another source of income.
that's what I think as well. So I guess it helps me sort of continue that practice of almost creative writing, even if it's not creative. It's not telling a story, but it's describing my life in a more creative, artistic way. I'm not embellishing, but I'm using words to describe, I guess, what's happening to me on the day-to-day in a way that feels like a creative outlet. So there is that, yes. So I can imagine for people who don't have that relationship with writing, or writing isn't pleasurable or a hobby for them, it might not work the same way.
If you want to dive deeper into this topic, Shannon selected some interesting articles for you to take a look at. You can find them in the episode description. Going back to what you said about journaling being a therapeutic process, I don't know what your experience is with counseling or therapy or anything slightly more kind of traditional, but have you found it to be
genuinely effective form of therapy?
Yes, absolutely. For me, it is, because I can have this conversation with myself. And I didn't know that I did this. I was actually reflecting on my process, if you can call it that, for this episode, so for our conversation. And I realized, I think I do kind of take myself through this process in journaling, where the first thing I will tend to do, if something's going on, right, like that I feel like I need to process, whatever it is, the first thing I'll usually do is just try to get my emotions out. So I'm feeling like this or like that. And if I can't put an exact emotion to it, like I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling stressed or whatever, I'll try to describe it in another way. You know, I feel like there's neon green swirling around in my head, or, you know, that's the thing. And no one else is going to read it. So you can get super dramatic. You can get super creative. Yeah. You don't have to hold back. So I'll just try to get it down, and then I'll start to get into, okay, why am I feeling this way? What made me feel like this? That the next step is usually, what do I want in this situation? You know, what would the ideal be? So if I'm having a, I don't know, conflict with a friend, okay, well, what's my ideal then? What's mm-hmm. not happening now that I want to be happening? And then the last step is usually, is there anything I can do to try to get to that ideal situation? And usually by the time I've gone through that whole process, I've come up with something, even if it's not an answer, something that I can at least do. You know, maybe the answer is I just need to go and make a cup of tea and calm down. Or, you know, maybe it's something more concrete, like I need to write my friend a letter and express how I feel. And I've usually at least come full circle to the point where now I can continue with my day, or I can do something that feels at least a little bit proactive. And that's been hugely helpful. I don't think I really realized it, but I've since spoken to other people who haven't ever done anything like that. And I'm always a bit surprised. I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't know how you feel? Like, haven't you journaled about it? Like, it's rare that someone asks me how I feel and I don't know. Or if I say, if the answer is I don't know, I know that I can go and journal and then I will know. And I've had some kind of funny experiences going to therapy where this is weird, maybe the therapist is almost at a loss for words at times, because I don't know if they're used to having a client who has already kind of done a lot of that work.
Yeah.
And so I'll describe a situation and they're like, and I'll describe my entire thought process, and then like, but how do you feel? Wait, you just told me how you feel about that. But what are you going to do? Wait, you've just told me what you plan to do about that. It's like, okay, so what do we talk about? But it is still, it's very helpful to have a sounding board. Obviously, that's not me, a different perspective.
That's really interesting. I've journaled on and off, mostly off, for much of my life. And something I worked on with my coach was these like really short journal prompts. So what's like the negative voice in your head saying? What's the fear that you're working? Like, can you reframe it? And also, are you celebrating anything to offer a kind of counterbalance? And I stuck with that more off than on, but for probably about 4 weeks. And even that incredibly simple sort of getting thoughts down and reflecting, because for me, I think what I've really struggled with journaling is that the writing bit is almost quite hard work, but the thinking bit is very easy. So when the pressure is to get all those thoughts on the paper, I struggle. But when the paper is allowed to just be kind of what you said about therapists, like a sounding board, like I just pop a few things on, but that triggers a thought process, then I find that side of things very effective. So having those like tiny prompts, I may be writing three sentences, but in the thinking about those three sentences, I'm doing the processing and I'm doing that work.
That makes a lot of sense. And that sounds like great advice for people who aren't like me. Like for me, the actual process of writing is pleasurable, but I know for a lot of people, like you said, that's work and it doesn't feel nice and fun. Just having that process and taking the pressure off yourself that it doesn't need to be any particular way. It could just be one or two sentences, but if getting there has caused you to sort of do this reflection and feel better, then that's perfect.
Do you have, on the topic of kind of advice for people like me, who have, you maybe like wanted to journal, they see the benefits, they hear people like you talk about how transformative it can be, but really struggle to do it. Do you have any other advice for them?
Yes. So the reason I started journaling very consistently, or more consistently at 18, is because my very good friend read a book about the benefits of journaling. Mm-hmm. And in, I can't remember the book, unfortunately, but in it, I remember she said that the advice that the author gave was not to buy a lined notebook and not to worry about typing, but to buy a sketchbook, an unlined blank pages sketchbook. And then don't even pressure yourself to write, just fill the pages with whatever you want. And that was so freeing. And I've since sort of gone all the way back to the other end. And now I type in a computer. So it's totally the opposite because I like that. But for other people who don't, I have my first, I know we're not on video, but if you want to see it, first sketchbook when I was 18, I still have them. And like some of them are just scribbles. Some of the, like there's one page where I, long time ago, obviously, was going through something stressful, and it's just let go in finger paint. That's the entry from that day.
Wow.
I have taped meaningful emails or, you know, little like fortune cookie fortunes on certain pages and then written a little bit about it. I've painted a bit, even though I'm not by any means a visual artist. Oh my God. But it doesn't matter, right? So that's the thing is like you don't have to limit yourself to one particular structure. And I think when you take that pressure off of it having to be a certain way to be good or effective or worthwhile, once you take that pressure off, then it really is freeing that your journal is just that. It's yours. It's your journal. So it doesn't have to be any one way or any one thing.
Yeah. I think for me, it's that concept of yours. And I think it's something about the modern world. I think the idea that my phone has a camera, my laptop has a camera, and we have CCTV, and I don't really trust that nobody can read my WhatsApp, not quite in a foil hat kind of conspiracy theory way, but I'm not really used to having a space that is just mine, that doesn't have an Alexa in the corner potentially recording what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? Like that,
exactly.
That step of actually saying this book or this document that I've, you know, I feel is safe on my computer is actually private. I find that a very difficult step to overcome. And then add to that just the sort of slightly narcissistic sense that at one point maybe these will get published in my memoirs. And like the idea that somebody might read it and go like, gosh, she's shit. She's got terribly boring thoughts and feelings, and she expresses them terribly.
Look at this sentence construction. Horrible.
And her feelings are entirely invalid. I mean, obviously you've been doing this for a really long time, so maybe those thoughts are just, maybe they were never in your mind or they've kind of since left. But do you think there are any, I mean, do you ever get kind of trapped in your own? Okay.
Definitely. And when that happens, it's you. Often it will be after a string of journal entries that I feel pretty good about. I'm like, oh, I'm really getting the hang of this writing thing. And I bet somebody will read these and they'll be impressed. And then like the next day I'll have just a total brain fart where I'm sitting there thinking like, I oh my God, this is horrible. And I'm scared to write anything because I've got this mindset that someone will read it. And that's when I have to remind myself, no one will read this. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe they will someday. But it's your choice what you tell yourself. So I'll even tell myself in those moments, I'm going to type this out and then I'm immediately going to delete it.
Right.
Usually I don't by the end. But if that's the only way that you can start, that's fine. And, you know, if you do have that feeling like nothing is ever really private on the computer, then go the sketchbook route and tell yourself that you're going to burn it as soon as you're finished. I know people who write in physical journals and then throw them away, destroy them and throw them away because they don't care about reading them back. I like to. Other people don't. Like I have a friend who said she tried reading them back and she didn't find it helpful or beneficial at all. So, but she found the process of creating it was the part that mattered. So she writes and then gets rid of them. So yeah, again, it's up to you. And if that's what you have to tell yourself, that this is just a physical notebook, a cocktail napkin, whatever, no one will ever read it and then I'm going to tear it up and get rid of it. Maybe for you, that's where the benefit comes from, is just getting it out and then gone.
Are there any other like things that make it hard to journal for you?
I would still like to journal, I guess, more regularly than I do. Sometimes when I'm reading back, I know there are events in my life that were difficult And they were probably made more difficult by the fact that I wasn't kind of forcing myself to sit down and write, even when I didn't feel like it. And so looking back, there are some gaps where I say, I wish I had written more during that time. So I think for me personally, this might not apply to everyone. I think I would benefit from sort of forcing myself to sit down and do it, even when I don't have that special mood that strikes. But then I have to be careful, because once it starts to feel like a chore, then for me that removes a lot of the benefit. So it's about finding that balance. And it's a little bit like anything else, you know, with a creative project. Sometimes I'm a horrible procrastinator, so I'll put it off. And then once I actually force myself to sit down and do it, I realize that I enjoy it. And it's the same with journaling. Like, oh, I'll just watch Netflix and unwind instead of writing for 30 minutes first. But if I can force myself to do it, often it'll be a rough couple of first sentences. But then once I get into the flow, I'm enjoying it just as much as, you know, when the mood was there. So for me, I think that's the hardest part, is kind of carving out the time in the day as well, with so many distractions. And especially if, because I enjoy typing, it's on my computer. So I open my computer, and what's the first thing I do is check my email, and then I'm off somewhere else down a rabbit hole of like half working, half procrastinating, when the whole reason I sat down to begin with was to give myself that gift of just uninterrupted writing time.
Yeah. I even tried to resurrect an old Mac that could not be resurrected. I tried really hard because I really wanted a computer, because I, like you, like typing. But I didn't want it to have the internet. I didn't want it to have the you know, automatic links where I can just click on my email from the bookmark tab instead of even thinking about it. So yeah, we're going to wrap up in a second, Shannon. But before we do, what if you had one piece of advice for somebody who wanted to start a journal like today, what would it be? It may be something you've already said.
My advice would be just do it. And I guess more specifically, go out and buy, or order if you like to shop online, order some sort of blank sketchbook and pick one that feels special to you. So find one where you like the picture or the message on the cover, or even if it's just a totally plain moleskin, you know,
sexy.
Maybe go to a physical shop and like
touch
one that
paper.
Like when you touch it, it has like the right feeling, because it needs to feel like you have some kind of connection to it, I think. Obviously, if you like typing, you can ignore all of that and just, I don't know, open a Word doc or something on your computer. But maybe if you've never journaled, start with handwriting and get that physical one, blank pages, and just open it and put down whatever you feel like on the first page. If it's something you've cut out of a magazine, make a little collage, or just scribble something, or paint something, or whatever it is, just to feel like you've put something down for the day.
Nice. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for that, Shannon. That was really interesting.
And of course.
Goodbye. How do I say this? What, is there anything else I want to say? No, I didn't think
so. Well, thank you for this conversation. It was great to sit and reflect on our thoughts on journaling.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Shannon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks once again to Shannon for sharing her experience with me, and for not judging me when I entirely forgot how normal people say goodbye at the end there. When the conversation is flowing so naturally, it can be weird to kind of get the official goodbyes in at the end. If you want to find out more about what Shannon does, if you're an English teacher looking to build up your business or become self-employed, I've popped her website in the episode description. So tell me, are you a journaler? A diary keeper? As I said at the start, I have, for the longest time in my whole life, kept up a fairly consistent journaling habit since this conversation with Shannon took place. She really inspired me to give it another go. I have a beautiful dotted notebook from Leuchtturm. I think that's how you pronounce that. German listeners can correct me. And a Lamy fountain pen that I find really smooth and easy to write with. And I've bought myself this like whole bunch of different colored inks to keep things exciting. I totally agree with what Shannon said about finding writing materials that you connect with. Making the experience a pleasure makes all the difference. So if you keep a journal or plan to start after this episode, let us know.
You can get in touch on Instagram or via email. info@rhiannonelt.com is the address. I would love to hear from you. For now though, I bid you farewell. I've been Rhiannon. This has been Deep Talk. Have a wonderful day.